We are being hypnotized by people like this. Newsreaders, politicians, teachers, lecturers.
We are in a country and in a world that is being run by unbelievably sick people. The chasm between what we're told is going on and what is really going on is absolutely enormous.
Oh yeah, dude. This is some Nephilim shit. It's like we all know what's going down, but no one's saying shit. What happened to the home of the brave? These motherfuckers, they controlling us now, and no one's talking about how they made us try to be slaves. And everybody's just walking around, head in the clouds, and won't awaken to a dead in the grave. But then it's too late, we need to be ready to raise up. Welcome to the end of day. Everybody is slaves, only some are
aware. Welcome back, Infidels and Goyim, to Nef to America, your cultural commentary for the end of days. We are late. We were trying to stream from the Jew tunnels. Service is not so great down there. We had to surface in order to bring you guys the show. But we are here, fresh off the back of Bohemian Grove, or the test run for Bohemian Grove. Top, dude, what's going on? How do you feel like we did at Bohemian Grove, the first unofficial one?
Listen, man, I'm just overwhelmed right now. We're going straight into plugs, like we always do. Like we always do at this time, motherfucking plugs. I have been working on this shit. It's the website, because you guys are conspiracy theorists. You hate Patreon. I get it. I don't like those motherfuckers either. So we've built a website. This is what it looks like. But you got to log in to get the password and stuff. I'm going to be putting up all the promo codes to like the different tiers, all the kind of extra shit that you'll get on this website. You got to log in to see it. Maybe that's not a good idea. I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. This was very hard to do. Go to register.nephilimdeathsquad.com and go check it out if you want to switch over. This was difficult, okay? What did we do this weekend? I don't remember. It's been a shit show.
Dude, it's been like a blur, honestly. I feel bad because whenever Top is doing anything you see that's got a technical aspect to it, it's just Top. My job is to show up, talk shit, and wear colorful shirts. Top is like, I have an entire like body of knowledge on how to create merchandise and websites and shit. So, I can't judge. I just sit back and I go like, looks good, dude. Everything looks good.
This is how it goes. He goes, I say, listen, I have expertise, like extreme expertise in creating t-shirts and hoodies and creating like, you know, websites. He was like, can you make a membership website? He's like, nope, never done that. And he's like, but that's what we need. So go get cracking. And I'm like, okay, fine. I was like, how about the t-shirts? That's good. David's like, what about slings? What about cloaks with clasps? What about swords? And I'm like, okay, I guess we could fucking do all that too. And it's just like,
we're doing it all,
difficult.
Dude.
Yes.
Shout out to Chris, who we spoke to this weekend, who might actually be helping us to get ahead of the sword game. Looks like it might actually be happening, guys. And so with a little bit of luck, maybe we can have them ready for us. It's actually, I asked him, I said, what do you think the odds of having these ready by October for? And he might as well have said, do you not know how long it takes to make fucking swords, you idiot? And I was like, oh, bet. All right. So whenever we get around to it. But this, that's what the people are here for. Thank you, MK Ryan. People are here for mouth moisture. That's what they're
wet
here
noises.
For. They're here for wet mouths, dude. But we spent all weekend at the...
Oh, you know
not
what I realized?
Weekend.
Wait. This is Nef to America, so we're going to just jar everybody. Oh, God, my eyes.
Oh, shit, dude.
No, I just feel like, ugh.
It's like getting pepper sprayed and tased at the same time.
I like it, though.
So
I don't know.
We hung out with just the kind of the coolest fucking people this weekend. We went to the Joke Joint to do a live signing of the Chaos Twins comic series by Paranoid American and Sam Tripoli. And we were doing a live podcast with him. But what ends up happening is we invited 1, 2, 3 people, 4 people, 5 people. Next thing you know, there's like 10 of us out there, 10 heavy hitting conspiracy content creators. We had Juan of the One on One podcast. We had Donut. We had the Redheaded Libertarian. Donut. All of these people, by the way, except for Josie, 17 feet tall. Just the biggest people in the world. I was so upset.
Didn't like that. Didn't enjoy that. Not even a little bit. It's made me uncomfortable. I was like, when Juan gets here, he's gonna be like average Puerto Rican height. And I'm like, Juan's like, I'm looking at him. I'm like, what the fuck, man? Very skinny dude.
Huge.
I thought he'd be thicker, right?
Yeah, I thought he'd be heavier. You know what's funny too? You said this about Thomas. You said either you were going to be a giant or you were going to be a troll. And I thought, because I could have sworn there was a moment where he said something once I read it, that he was really short. So I was expecting like this dwarf, like a Lord of the Rings character where he's like bald, big beard, this intimidating look, but he's very short. No, dude is Goliath. He's a gigantic human being. And everybody, yeah. I mean, Clint Russell was there, also very tall. You told me, you tried to manage my expectations. You said, Sam Tripoli, you know, he's your height is what you said. I said, okay, that's cool. Not true. Sam Tripoli is 6'7".
He's also tall. But yeah, I realized it was weird because I was standing next to him in Vegas and I was like, and then maybe in Florida, he gets taller in Florida. Maybe he contracts with the desert heat. And then when there's moisture, he just gets bigger or something. I don't know.
He's like those, he's you ever too. See those like lizards, like an alligator, a little gummy alligator, you put it in the water and expands to like four times its size. That's Sam Tripoli. The humidity, he just sucks it up and grows an extra foot. Right? So everybody was way taller than me. But besides that, which was deeply upsetting and hard to overlook for me the entire time, it was actually an incredible experience. Chaney was there as well, who dresses just like me. So I don't know if I dress like a lesbian or if she dresses like a gay man. I'm not too sure which one it is, but we look exactly like we could swap outfits. I think I'm wearing her shirt right now.
Do you know who dresses just like you, David?
Oh, fucking
Alex Soto. What's up, man? Alex Soto, the owner of the Joke Joint. He's just a dude. I'm just going to flip through some pictures. He's just a dude that wears some loud ass shirts. And I said, oh, look here. Actually, this is pretty cool. Let's check this out. I haven't seen this.
Does he not have any pictures of what he actually looks like? Because
there he goes. That's it.
There he is.
Wait a second. Wait.
Oh, this is
David's
the event.
Future. Yeah, this is the event. This is David's
That's
future
me.
Right here. You see this? He went on stage and I said, David, in like a year, you're going to be this dude dressed in head to toe in some kind of weird sequence. This dude's a character. I'm like, just let
Hold
me
Hold on a second. I'm
going to
stand up.
This motherfucker. Incredible. This is incredible.
Bro,
I cannot believe.
I didn't even realize I'm wearing a version of that outfit. I'm wearing it. He's got like gold. There's like gold chains on that shirt. There's literally gold chains on this shirt. That's not my.
When you met him,
that's not me in the future. That's me right now. It was a little bit weird because he had no time for me, which was fine. We did speak a little bit and he said, I'm looking forward to doing things like this more and more. I'm about giant bags of money. Are you about giant bags of money? And I said,
is
yes.
That what he
and
said?
He goes, so am I. That's what he said. And I was like, I'm not getting paid for this. And he was like, too, I am, motherfucker. And then that was it. That was the only interaction we really had. I asked him if he needed help. He said, no, just stay away from me. I have a crazy mind. I just got to go. And I was like, fucking bet, dude. I was only
Did
doing
he,
that
I,
as a courtesy.
He probably said exactly that because this dude's wild. All right, let's play the rest of this so people could see what the event is. This is pretty cool. I didn't even know this existed.
I didn't know he did that.
Yeah, let's fucking. Oh, shit. Wait, is this Thomas? Go back a second.
Thomas just huge.
Yeah, giant.
I mean, huge man. Oh, there we are. There I am. It's me. Look at that. Pack the place out.
Chaney.
The staff was awesome. Chaney wearing the same shirt I'm wearing now. Donut. That guy.
Clint Joseph. Yeah.
Oh, there's the Tripoli titties chicks. There they are. Look at that NDS logo. Me.
Big titty girl. What up?
The big titty Tripoli chicks.
There's Juan.
There you go. Shout out Juan Ayala. Another Puerto Rican.
whatever it is. What is the game, and how do you win that game is by helping others achieve their dreams. I love you all very much. It's been a great time. Let's give it up for Alex one more time, everybody. Alex! Thank you. Love you guys.
Very cool, man.
And then he sang it.
Then he sang.
Mexican Puerto Rican girl behind the ball. My better half. She's my beauty. My queen. Miss Joanne. Everybody needs to know. That's right.
I love Alex. He's a fuck. What a fucking retard this guy is. Man.
Dude, what an awesome time. What an awesome time. My wife loved his wife's kimono. She had like a kimono that also had
you were looking directly
gold chains all over it.
It's wild.
That's it.
To
That's
see.
Not even my future. That's just a different outfit from what I'm wearing right now. And soon I'll evolve into something totally different. But he and I are the same person actively in this moment. And the guy had a great set of veneers on him. His teeth were fucking sparkling, pure white.
Beautiful
and I was
teeth.
Really a big fan. Beautiful
That's
teeth.
Dope,
set of beautiful
man.
Teeth
I didn't
on
even,
him.
Didn't know that was up. I'm going to have to share that around. Now, that's really cool. I like that. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, dude.
Event went great.
I mean, it did, right? And I think, am I right in saying that we sold out both the inside and the outside? You guys were at an event. Thanks a lot, conspiracy extremists. Do you even watch the show? Unbelievable.
Yeah, so,
you know, I watch every episode of Horseshoe and Hand Grenades.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't believe it. That was too long of a pause. You suck.
So what do you think? Did we sell out the whole thing? I think we did, right?
So we definitely sold out the inside. That was like the podcast part of it, because that room can only fit like however many people, like maybe 100. It could have fit a little bit more probably, depending if you take the tables away. But that part was sold out, and then outside was like pretty much capacity. It was like about 200 people there. So yeah, he had to rent more chairs to like set up that venue and do it outside. So I'd say it was pretty successful. I thought there was going to be like fucking 30 people there. I was like, there could be 30 people here, and I guess we'll just do an awkward show for, you know, a couple of people, just like that Timcast shit where just a couple of people hanging out. And
it's
I was
like 12
I'm ready
dudes.
For that.
I was ready for it. Sam tried to give us like a word of advice before we started. He's like, listen, you know, people aren't going to laugh.
Yeah, he's like, don't.
And that's,
like,
and that's
do,
okay.
Don't try to be funny. Whatever you do. And I was like, the first thing, like before we're mic'd up, me and David are sitting there just fucking killing Sam. We're like, you're going bald. You're fat. You're old. We were sitting there like
so much older than I thought.
Yeah, for real. When you get closer to him, because he says, oh, I'm 50, but then he dresses like a fuckboy. But then when you're real close to him, I'm like, we're observing him. I'm like, Sam, you're going to the bathroom a lot. Are you okay? Have you checked your prostate recently? I know this is the age. Man. But he was great.
Yeah.
I love Sam. Very nice to
dude,
us.
Dude, okay. What I want to say about Sam, besides the fact that he's balding, is that you know they say like don't meet your heroes? Sam Tripoli is one of my heroes for sure. I've been listening to the dude. I'm a big fan of his comedy, even bigger fan of his podcast. Been listening since like, I don't know, maybe like 2014 or something like that. It's okay to meet your heroes. Sam Tripoli is, the impression that I get of him through the podcast is good guy, genuine guy. Like, and you meet him and it's exactly who he is. Like, he is a warm, friendly, like there's no, I didn't feel any kind of like, I don't know what the terminology, not like intimidation by his presence, but like I felt warm friendliness coming off of him. Like he was a cool dude.
My bullshit meter didn't go off, because he is the same. He's the same. Every time I've met him, he's the same dude that you see on the show. Just like super chill. I like almost like weirdly going out of his way. Like, did he kill somebody or something like that? Like, cause he's like going out of his way to like really help everyone out in the most meaningful way. And it's just, it is really cool to be around someone like that. So I actually put on Instagram the picture of us, and I said that Sam is sharing abundance, and I in turn am sharing abundance. That's how I've been acting the last couple of years, and it does work. It comes back to you. And I said, in return, I expect you guys to do the same shit. Like, if I'm giving that to you, I expect you to do that too, because it's just like, I mean, it's so much better than like, you see how other people on the internet act, and it's very like a weird closed club or something like that, or like weird gatekeeping for no, even for like a lesser of a prize. people will gatekeep, and it's like confusing to me. But here you have a guy like pretty much not at the top, but you know, he's like high up there practicing the opposite. And then you look at what he gets back and you're like, yeah, no shit, you get that back, because that's like, it's what you're putting out there. So good on him. And thank you again, Sam. I'm sorry for calling you old and bald and a little fat. The shirt that I gave him this shirt, Nephilim Death Squad one, a little tight.
He looked good in it, dude.
He looked great in it. He looked great. He was like, really? Like, this is a little tight. And I was like, okay. But he still wore it. So good. Again, practicing abundance in a tight shirt. Thank you, Sandra.
That is a solid move. And you know, we talked about it before. It's like, if we were a little gayer, we could have been like, oh no, this is our chance to be on stage with Sam Tripoli. But instead, what we did was like invite the homies. Like, let's come and hang. And that turned into such a cool thing. Like, it's so much cooler than it would have been if it was just like, don't tell anybody, we'll do a show and it'll be cool. It's like, no, invite everybody, turn it into this big thing. And I want to get into what it's turning into. But before we do, I want to address Ashtray.
You can find a way to watch it. Ashtray, really cool.
Ashtray's really cool asking. You can go to patreon.com/NephilimDeathSquad. We put it behind a paywall because we want your money, but also we had to put it behind a paywall because Tripoli has it behind a paywall, is going to put his behind a paywall temporarily. And so for as long as, until he releases it publicly, we can't release it publicly. So if you want to see it exclusively, you can go to patreon.com/NephilimDeathSquad, sign up at the $5 tier, and there is a link pinned.
You can go to Nephilim Death Squad. I put it up here somewhere. Yeah, register.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
NephilimDeathSquad.com. That's for the new website, which is going to be replacing the Patreon eventually. You get a link to the Telegram, and it's the pinned message on there, so you can go and watch it. So our Telegram members have seen it already. They said, wow, that sucked. But you could too.
You could watch you it too could like, tell us we're fucking trash.
Yeah, I thought it was a good show. Like David was saying, we went up there, and I guess it was like, The show was supposed to be me, David, and Paranoid American. That's what he kept advertising.
And also Clint.
Yeah, but then it was very strange.
He said Clint's
though.
Name one time.
Yeah. What happened was is that all these people came and were like, yo, how could we not have on Clint, Josie, Juan, Donut,
Chaney. Donut, yeah.
And then the other dude that was in there, I forgot his name, Jim. He's like this
grow
food dude. Yeah, really cool. Got his number. I got to talk with him. We'll probably talk with him on the show. But after like 30 minutes, I turned to Juan and I was like, how long have I been going? Because they were watching on there and they're setting the cameras. He's like, it's like about 30 minutes. And I was like, oh shit. Like, I don't know how long this is going to go. But I was like, let me step out. We got to switch out. We got to get people in. And I thought that was cool because it created like the best show. You had Sam as the constant. And then you just had like an all-star lineup of people running through and hopping on stage. And I was like, that was fucking cool, dude. That was really cool.
You know, shout out to Emily. She's in the chat. Hempress Emily. She's in the Telegram. And she was saying earlier that...
Pay up pores is what she's saying. Good for her.
That's right. She's solid. She's one of my favorite people in the Telegram. But she was saying that she saw this moment in my eyes when Sam Tripoli said, welcome to Bohemian Grove.
I saw, yeah, I looked right at you too. I was like, dude, I was like, he doesn't know that someone already has this name. We are in a lot of trouble.
Well, we found that out after the fact, but that doesn't matter. I'm sure that's something that can be worked out. No big deal. But, you know, for those of you listening to the show who caught last week's Neph to America, I was chopping it up about this idea for Bohemian Grove. Guys, for a week after, you know, that idea just kind of fell into my lap and we kicked it around and thought it could be fun for a week afterwards for, you know, Sam Tripoli, who's a dude I greatly admire, for him to say that on stage. I was like, I couldn't believe that shit. It was childlike wonder magic happening in real time. I was like a kid at a candy shop that whole time. Like, I think the weekend went off perfectly. Like, it was so cool. It was so cool to interact with the fans. It was so cool to interact with all those content creators. It was really cool to find out that everybody is dope in real life. Like, Donut's fucking awesome. Chaney's awesome. Juan is all like, all these people were great. I don't think, honestly, I don't think it could have gone better. But we are now, because this went so well, and I think Sam really actually genuinely enjoyed it and has shown an interest in doing it again. And so we don't have anything set in stone yet, but we are aiming for this coming October to do the first official, because this ended up being a test run, the first official Bohemian Grove. And we're going to try to make it as weird as possible. I'm working on getting cloaks. I'm working on getting swords. I don't know if the swords are going to happen in time. We're working on, you know, recruiting. I think I just want to say it because she already said she's down, and I know she's going to be there. You know, it's our event, so we'll make it happen. Leonarda, Joni is going to be there. We're going to try to get as many people as makes sense, because we are limited, unfortunately, with the seating. We can only do like...
Tell them, this is what's happening. It's not like, oh, well, some people are, oh, well, maybe this. It's literally going to happen. I dropped off Sam at his hotel after the event, and helped him with... He had some books and stuff. I helped him with that. And I was about to hop in my car and just drive off. And he goes, whoa, 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 whoa. And I'm like, oh, what happened? And he goes, yo, we have to do this again. We have to do this again, bro. He's like, you got to figure out how to get the people and then do it again. And he's like, do you guys want to do it again? Because now Clint has walked out the car too. He's with us. And I was like, yeah, we want to do it again. Like, we wanted to bring that up to him afterward. But it's also like, hey, do you want to fly across the country, the United States, come back to this shit town here and do... That's a great town.
And it turns out, yes.
Yeah, it turns out he was like, yo, that was fucking... I love that. So Sam initiated that. I'm in talks with the guy at the venue again. It's going to happen. And what we're doing too is going to be even crazier, because like maybe we'll do one night or two nights depending on how many creators will come. But every creator that was there already wants to do it again. So they're like, as far as I'm concerned, they're in. Leonardo Joni messaged me and she was like, hey, why didn't you invite me to this? And I was like, well, I just procured the venue, didn't set it up. But, you know, if I did, like, I wouldn't have even asked, because I'm like, then I got to pay you. And it's like, I'm not in that position.
She's in Texas too. Like the people that we asked, like they happen to be local. Like they're right around here. I could not have asked somebody to come out from someplace far as hell for something that we didn't even know really what was happening. This just turned into Bohemian Grove the moment that Sam Tripoli said it, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, I would love to have, Leonardo on. Somebody said, I'm going to put this up. Z-Man said, your version of Cremation of Care needs to involve the loser of Cocktober. It's actually interesting because what we plan on doing with the Cremation of Care is, what did they say they're doing? It's like, yeah, we do the Cremation of Care. We burn a fake effigy. It's a mock sacrifice. So what we're going to do as a play, you know, a play off of that, is we're going to have comedians roast Sam Tripoli. Like roast him, mock sacrifice him. And then at the end of the night, I think we're going to burn an effigy with his face on it.
Look at all these people. Let's do something in Vegas, all this stuff. Yeah, come to the West Coast. Yo, Florida is the promised land. It is literally the homeland. As far as I'm concerned, so the venue is very close to me, but I feel a certain way about this venue. I think it's something really special. So it's... Because it's not just like a comedy club. It's an entire experience. Would you say so, David?
Yeah, dude. I mean, honestly, like, I've never seen anybody... You said this. You were like, I've never seen anybody do it like this. The guy, Alex, me, in an alternate timeline, he does a lot of, like, singing and shit. Like, it's a whole experience. The way he warms up the crowd and gets everybody ready and tries to get people, like, into it and interactive before any of the comedians even hit the stage. Like, I mean, the inside venue to the outside venue. Like, the whole thing, it was a long event. You know, we were there from...
He was just giving away blunts. I was like, yeah. Like standing around. I was like, what the fuck is going on in this place?
Do you hear that, guys? I don't even smoke and I didn't end up smoking. But those of you, I know we have a lot of people that enjoy smoking as fans. The dude is handing out joints. Like, I remember just looking around and being like, man, everybody's smoking weed out here. That's crazy. And then it turns out like, no, that wasn't originally the case. The owner just started giving everybody joints. Like, what the fuck kind of cool shit is that?
Yep. So, yeah, hey, I guess you were Chris. There, Chris. Did you see?
Yeah.
Who is this guy? Do I know this guy?
That sword guy.
Oh, yeah. What's up, man? I'm sorry. The glasses look
fuck
crazy.
Yeah,
what's
baby.
Up, Chris? Yeah, the dude is surreal. He walks up to you. He's not big. He's smaller than you, but he walks up to you and you're like, what are you doing, dude? He's like,
he's got strong energy.
Well, if you guys ever meet David in real life, same shit. You're like, why'd you run up on me like that for? You have bowling shoes on right now? What are you doing?
Somebody said that to me. They were like, I think it was Clint. Clint and Sam both said, I have tall guy energy. And I was like, that's nice. I'll take it. At least the energy is tall, because I'm a very unfortunate 5'7", and it hurts when I stand next to people.
You don't have tall guy energy. Soul. You've got this guy energy. Like, you walk up like hard and then you go. Like that guy energy. You're like, what the fuck is going on? Are we going to start a company? Like, that's how we got me to do a podcast.
I've
like,
got cocaine energy.
I was like, yeah, I guess we're going to do a podcast.
Dude, the whole thing was honestly, though, the venue, Alex, the performance. I think people really liked the podcast, too. We were a little bit all over the place, because when you have that many content creators and not a single one of us has established what we're going to talk about.
Oh, you know, we kept asking Sam. We're like, all right, Sam, here's the thing. There's the, like, it's us, right? And then there's other people, and we got to figure out how to get them up. And also, what are we talking about? There's this room is packed. They're waiting for us to start. And he goes, yeah, bro. Yeah, but we're just going to like feel it out. Like, you know, what do you think? And they kept asking me, I was like, what do I think? I was like, no. This is like a tinfoil hat, Sam Tripoli thing, right? What are we doing? And he goes, yeah, definitely. And then I'm like, is anybody else like fucking hearing this? Like, we don't know. He's just like, you know,
about this for a second, though? Think about the energy of Sam Tripoli, where it's like, we look to him as a dude that like we admire. He does cool shit. He's got it all figured out. He shows up. We're like, this guy's great. Hey, Sam, by the way, what are we doing? And he's like, I don't know.
He's like,
it's going to be good.
He goes,
we're going to figure it out.
This is what he goes. I love the energy of Sam Tripoli. He goes, before I get him to the venue, I pick him up and he goes, I got these t-shirts. And I was like, oh, dope. And he's like, I don't know how I'm going to sell them. And I'm like, what does that mean? And he goes, I got no payment processing. Can you stop at Best Buy? I was like, what the fuck? You flew with all these t-shirts with no way to sell them? This is the kind of wild energy. And then that continued as we're sitting down. And we're talking with him like, so what's up? And he's just like, but he had told me before. He goes, listen, bro. I asked him, I said, hey, how are tickets selling? You have any idea? He's like, listen, I only show up and I do comedy. That's it. He literally walks in the door and does comedy. I was like, that was crazy. He had no clue. This place was gonna be packed up.
Well, think about it. We were sitting around your table, which is cool, by the way. You literally have a round table and it's me, you. Clint would not sit with us. He just couldn't be bothered to even look at us. Me, you, Donut, Juan, Thomas, and I think it was your brother-in-law. Was that who was there?
Yeah.
And
everyone was
and,
doing
shit all
like
of a sudden,
this. Like,
yeah,
shit like this. Like they were going like
and
this.
That was
like
that. That's how we communicated the whole time. We all had our hands on the table and we passed it. We actually passed a torch in order to be allowed to talk. You didn't speak unless you had the torch. And all of a sudden, Sam Tripoli calls, and it's like, hey, can somebody come get me? And we're like, what? Somebody come get? Sam Tripoli needs to be picked up? Where is Sam Tripoli? And then because you have no signal at your house, because you live in the boonies a little bit, it was like, I don't know where Sam Tripoli is. I don't know where he is. I don't know who's getting him. And for like only 15 minutes, it was like sitting in this chaos that I knew that I didn't have any responsibility. So I was like, this is amazing. This is incredible. But Top, as the host of the house, and also, you know, you're the one who was communicating with Alex to set this whole event up. And also Thomas, who, you know, is the co-creator on Chaos Twins. You guys were like immersed in this chaos for a moment of like having to figure out who's going to get Sam Tripoli. We didn't even know he had to be gotten. And just that whole thing was like phenomenal to watch. And he was right. It was like, we will figure it out. It's gonna work out. And it worked out and it crushed.
I have no idea. I have no clue how that worked out so well. I was like, this is going to be a complete disaster. I got no clue what's going on. I'm going to try my... And everything went like almost completely perfect. Did anything go wrong?
Yeah. We had some super fans. We had a couple of fans that were like awesome people, probably drank a little bit too much. And a couple of chicks in particular with giant heavy hangers were just really pumped to see Sam. And they were in the front row, and You know, they were just a little chatty, a little extra chatty, chatty beyond belief, honestly. But wonderful chicks. And you know, I know they drove from like incredibly far away to be there. So no harm, no foul. But that was about it. Just some chatty chicks was about.
They made a sign with our logo on it and then had us sign it. And I immediately signed it. And then I like kind of like slid away because I was like, I don't know what these ladies are about. They're like,
because they kept threatening with their tits a lot. There was a lot of threatening breast energy from them. Like, yeah. I didn't know if they were going to come out at any second. And I was like, I don't want to be a part of that. If your tits come out, I don't want to be around when they come out. I got to get out of here.
My wife is right here. What are you guys doing? Yeah. This is a little awkward, you know?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I'm not good on the exposed breast energy, especially around my wife. But that was it. That was the extent of it. We were signing stuff.
I also
look at us signing stuff.
I feel like we shouldn't be doing that. Like, that's not, like, I shouldn't be signing a sign that somebody made. And then I signed that lady's, they asked me to.
Child.
No. I signed her fucking picture. She had like she drew a picture. And I was like, oh God,
that was a cool picture.
Yeah, and we defaced it. But they asked us to, and I don't know why. I don't know.
Yeah. She painted like a Wendigo and it was like really dope. And then she was like, can you just take this Sharpie marker and fuck this whole thing up? And we were like, all right, if that's what you want. But you know, the whole thing, somebody at one point handed me, they didn't even speak to me, dude. They didn't even speak to me. You signed this thing too, I think, because you were right next to me. So I helped sort of, you know, guide you into the situation, but I wasn't helped to, you know, into the situation. All of a sudden, this dude who's tall as a tree shows up and he just hands me a license plate and go, and I'm looking at him and looking at the license plate and he kind of grumbles something. Never was a discernible word coming from his mouth the entire night. I didn't know what the dude actually said, but he handed me the license plate and I was like, oh, do you want me to sign this? And he goes, and I go, okay. And I grab that and I go, I don't have a Sharpie. And then I fucking, oh, this fucking guy. This guy was so upset. Seven comments, David, you made about my sunglasses, my Jeffrey Dahmer glasses. And now if I had them in arm's reach, I'd put them on. I'll never take them off and I'll wear them to every single fucking event because 7 comments. You took the time to tell me.
He did wear the glasses at the event, but I do like you better without the glasses. You look up.
Do you?
Yeah.
You know, I got like a scar in my mustache, huh? It just doesn't grow there like in one line. That's weird.
That's badass.
But yeah, so you know, some people were a little bit drunk. And so what ends up happening is I signed the license plate. 20 minutes later, the lady comes back over. She's like way drunker than she was a moment ago. And she asks me to sign it again. And I pick it up and I go, it's my signature right there. And she goes, huh? What? And I go, yeah, I already signed that.
Who are you?
And she, dude, and then she goes, wait, how did you do that? And I look at her and I go, time machine. And she goes, ah! And then I go, look, there's your husband. And she goes, there he is. And then she walks away. Like, it was the most incredible interaction because by that time I already had, you know, I don't smoke. I'll have a drink sometimes on the weekends. And so I had 2 beers in me. And by that time I was ready to be a magician. I was like, I already did that, lady. And she was like, and I was like, yeah, I was having fun with her. But
if you meet us, very weird. It's weird to ask us to sign stuff. I mean, maybe David, you could speak for yourself. For me, I was like, this is strange. I feel like I'm just devaluing your property. Whatever you had there is worth less now. Cause I drew on it a little bit. I don't know. It's a strange thing for me.
Tripoli had us sign a gang of Chaos Twins, and I'm like, this is not what the people want.
If you ordered
this is not
a
what
Chaos
people
Twins,
yeah, please,
copy,
tell us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of scribbles on it.
Yeah, one of the scribbles is Sam. The other ones might be me or David or Thomas. I'm not even sure. I don't even know why we were doing that. But I think it was because he just didn't want to do it alone. It was torture, really. I realized how lonely that must be. Like, everyone else is buzzing around him and he would have been on there by himself just, and then the next one and the next one. So he was like, it's probably, that was a you know, experienced person move. He probably done that before and he's like, this is boring. I'm going to make these guys do some boring shit with me. So that way I don't have to do boring shit by myself.
And then he almost dropped the whole table. He like
twice.
Did some
did
shit
twice.
And the fucking table legs folded and I like caught it and was like, what the fuck, man? I think Sam Tripoli, and then we'll get on to, because we do have a little bit of content. I realize we have to talk about this Do we sign dicks? We can sign dicks. Yeah, we'll sign a dick. That's fine. It's not a big deal.
Depends on the size.
I got so comfortable. If it's a big dick, I'll be like, fuck yeah, dude. Get over here. Let me sign that dick. But we got so comfortable with Sam Tripoli that by the end of the night, you had bought Sam sandwiches, like, from your house. You, like, put sandwiches in a paper plate and some foil over it. And you bought them for Sam Tripoli because he was hungry. And the end of the night rolls around, and now I'm hungry. And I'm like, I don't think Sam's going to eat those sandwiches. And I go to you, and I'm like, you think Sam's going to eat the sandwiches? And you're like, you should ask him. So I just walk over. Sam's talking to two ladies.
Don't eat his sandwich, David. You should.
I was going to do it. I was like, he's not even going to know. He's not even thinking about these sandwiches. I was ready to steal from Sam Tripoli already. A sandwich, I was going to take the whole fucking thing. I was like, he's not even looked at it. And I walk over. He's talking to two ladies. I feel bad because you think about it. You're there to see Sam Tripoli, and he's finally chatting you up. And you go, this is so cool. And all of a sudden, here comes this colorful dude in Jeffrey Dahmer glasses, walks up and goes, hey, Sam, sorry to interrupt. Hey, are you going to eat those sandwiches? You going to eat that? That's it. That's all I said. I was like, are you going to eat those sandwiches? And he goes, sandwiches? And I go, yeah, they bought you sandwiches. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to eat those sandwiches. And then he just walks away from those ladies. He just immediately walks away from those ladies. And I'm looking at them like I'm the dude that just fucked this up for them. And I'm like, I mean, I'm disappointed too. I thought he wasn't going to eat the sandwiches. Like, I was going to get him. Hey, Paranoid. Going to try to set the NDS signed copies aside for giveaways and also to submit to the ADL for your handwriting samples. Fucking A, man. I knew he was a shill. I knew he was a shill. He's a plant. Goddamn Freemasonic semen ingesting plant. Giant one, too, at that.
Guy that.
But yeah, man.
Went to jail for the weirdest felony, probably the gayest felony that you could do. He's like, yeah, I denied the vaccine. And everyone was like, woo, fuck yeah. All that shit. They were like, Thomas. And then he goes, for the anthrax vaccine. And everyone goes, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? The anthrax vaccine?
So we looked at him, we're like, hey, do you want anthrax? Are you trying to get anthrax? What's the matter with you? You trying to get anthrax, bro? And that was it. It was ridiculous.
It's just so. No offense, Thomas. You're big in everything. It's just so. Very
much offense.
It's gay to brag about. Like, he was like, yeah, I had a fucking felony. Say you assaulted somebody. Say, like, yeah,
a
felony.
Us.
I beat up another podcaster. Not like I denied a vaccine before. Like, there was like even four or five other vaccines in between that. And I'm sure it was the rage with conspiracy theorists in 1999 when they made it. 2003.
Holy crap, dude.
He's
that also
OG.
Makes you like, how old? Old is fucking. I was 13. Jesus Christ, Thomas. How old are you? 57?
Thomas's beard. His beard looks like he's seen some shit. That's what it is. It's like in 2003, he was doing what I did with COVID in 2021.
There was cocaine involved, too. That's what he said. It's a long story. There was cocaine involved.
He was just trying to, like get away from a drug test. He's like, I'm not going to take that fucking vaccine or pee in that cup. And they're like, well, then you're going to have to go to jail, sir. He's like,
it's like, I'm not taking that shingles vaccine. I don't know. It's weird because Thomas looks like, if he said he was young, if he said he was like, you know, 33, 34, I'd believe him. He's got a lot of gray in his beard, but like some people just have that. His skin is very tight over his gigantic skull.
Did you
he doesn't really have
teeth?
Like wrinkles.
How many teeth
no.
does he have? Like,
they no, had a lot of rings on him.
He had a lot of rings?
Yeah. On his teeth. That's how you like determine a horse's age or
I'm
some
just
shit.
Saying, oh, this fuck. Dude might be he literally might be Nephilim. He literally if I said like that's what a giant would look like obviously 10 feet tall. Yeah, right? When you're talking about the Kandahar giant, the one that runs out with the spear. I know they said he has like red hair, but if Thomas ran out with the spear and fucking speared Dan, you'd be like, that's the guy. That's
and
him.
You gotta think about this too. Like, I'm a small dude, right? I walk up and I go to greet Thomas. I'm like, look at this guy. That's awesome, man. It's fucking Thomas, a paranoid American. I say, what's up? I go to dap him up and he looks at me and he goes, in this house, we kiss. And he turns his head sideways.
And then he
and, like, leans into me. And, and I was like, oh shit. Oh, Box Saga, bro. And then we embraced and moved on. But that was, I'll give it to him. That was a good one. That's how you initiate your first interaction in person. So, but yeah, man.
He's playing
all
his online persona. He's playing it very wrong. He, like I said, I told him, I said, you could be 3 feet tall, or you could be big like how you are, or even bigger. But when you're looking at him in his camera, it's like from below, and then it's green. I'm like, you need to be around, everything around you needs to be tiny. You need to just be grabbing, like, emphasize how big you are, and then be meaner to people. Online, be mean to people. And when they say, who the fuck are you? And you just go like, I'm big. I'm big.
He needs to do one of two things. Either he needs to have a very small city on a green screen behind him, like very small, like he's, you know, trampling through it. Or he needs to have like stalactites. Like it's got to look like he's inside of a cave. Yeah, he lives inside of a cave. But I agree with the little things. Like if he had like a tiny can of soda, like a really miniature can of soda, or like you ever see they sell now? I saw them for Easter, which by the way, I hope everybody had a happy Easter. That was, we had a happy Easter. Or all things, right? Crisis King. But they sell these little tiny jars of Nutella, and I want to get them for him, like a little jar of Nutella with a little knife and little bread, you know, and have him do that on camera, make a little sandwich. Keep an eye out, guys, because we're going to be announcing soon. We'll have to do pre-orders for the tickets so that we can start to get an idea of, you know, how much merch we should bring, all that other shit. But Bohemian Grove is coming, and it's going to be a banger. Somebody said, have blurry creatures on, or I'm going to scope David's wet mouth on Rust. And I'm not sure. No scope. David's wet mouth on Rust. That sounds like a murder threat, and I'm down with it. I don't really know what that means. But what I will say is that blurry creatures is the shit, and I love them. This is going to be better than BlurryCon. I don't know what they do there, but I don't need to know what they do there. Bohemian Grove is going to be the shit, so keep an eye out for when those tickets go on.
I assume there's a lot of knowledge going on in BlurryCon.
Not here, dude.
You're not gonna learn shit here. We were talking about the Box Saga.
You're gonna learn who you are, but you're not gonna learn anything else. You're gonna find out who you are at Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, it's gonna be weird.
Can we get into this a little bit? Because I do have some fun stuff, and I wanted to kick it around. I actually starred your stuff, Copernicus. I starred your shit from the beginning because I didn't want to forget this. We are coming up on this really interesting end times eclipse, and there's all kinds of weird shit happening with it. And honestly, what are we? We're 7 days away now. I believe it's supposed to happen on the 8th, right?
Yeah. I'm not even paying attention. It's like that could literally kick off some major biblical prophecy. Yeah. And Armageddon. And I'm just like, I'm trying to make a website to get a couple of...
We're moving in a way where it's like, we're setting up more and more permanent structures in this realm as if it's not about to completely disintegrate into dust. And until it actually does, we intend to go on.
It's as bizarre.
It intends to go on.
We just spent 45 minutes talking about an event that happened, but plugging an event in October when...
Yes.
I mean, October? That is how many months from now? This is the fourth month. That's 6 months from now. Yeah, that was cool.
Speaking of plugs, we are dropping a coffee brand soon. It just reminded me Electric Boogaloo was like a brand of coffee that we were shown recently. But we're dropping Nephilim Death Roast. See, we're just building more and more. Like, we don't give a shit if it's going to end. We're making money until it does. Keep an eye out for Nephilim Death Roast when that drops. It's going to be a nice regular blend. We didn't want to go dark roast or anything too crazy or decaf. Want to get that. What's that called where you call it? Something is a something ship, a shale. What's the word I'm looking for? Flagship. It's a flagship product.
Right.
So we're going to be releasing that soon, and then maybe we'll do other brands. But keep an eye out for tickets for Bohemian Grove and also for Nephilim Death Roast.
Dude,
God, we're so fucking cool, dude.
By the time we get all this shit done, like, the world could very well be over. Or not over, but like, all right, what happens... I guess the first couple of years of the tribulation, if it plays out that way, are pretty good. The first 3.5,
pretty
solid.
And
then things get weird, right? So that's what I'm like.
I've heard 7 years. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, well, 7 years altogether, but the first half are okay. Like,
oh, and then it starts to fucking decline.
Yeah, and then it starts to get like, you know, take the mark if you want to be a part of this, and then it declines sharply after that, and So, I mean, I don't know. People have different interpretations of it. But it's like, yeah, it is strange to kind of like, I don't know, launch this stuff. Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah. I always felt like what was going to happen with me, and I try not to say it out loud too much because it is a feeling that I've had forever, is like, it's going to work out. Things are going to go really well doing exactly what we're doing now. And then once it like reaches its peak, it's all going to go to shit. And it's going to be, and then I'll have to contend with how I feel about that. You know, that'll be like my big trying moment, is like all the years I struggled to get this. Cheney, what up? Bro Grove for short. I like that. But yeah, all the years I spent trying to build something. And then once it finally takes off, the entire world, the economy falls and Jesus comes back. And I got to be like, I like this better anyway, which I think
like,
I will.
Really? Like we just started doing stuff and then that's when you, okay. But I mean, if you have, you must.
Yeah. If you must.
On your time.
I get it.
On your time, I get it. But I did put a lot of work into this. But on your time.
What I would want is I want to go to Jesus and I would be like, hey, I get it, man. Can you at least say it was cool? Like, it was cool what we did, right?
We
like,
were
you
on
saw
something,
that, right?
Right? He'd right? be like, yeah, totally, totally. If I didn't come back, it would be totally great. Yeah, yeah. But whatever. It's over now. So line up.
Just like, yeah, these guys were not going to fuck it. They had no idea. They were right around the corner from just getting canceled. Just
like we give each other a high five and he's like,
yeah, all right. So we have this fucking, this end times eclipse coming on the 8th, and we have a lot of fun things that are happening around it that I brought up a little bit at the Tripoli event. And Tripoli actually was just like, I think it's all sort of a, what would you call that? Like a red herring to get you to look at one thing, and then they'll pull the rug out from underneath you when it doesn't happen, and they'll point at you and go, ah, look at the retards, which is very likely because that's been like most of my life. You know, I remember being a kid and being like, FEMA camps are coming and martial law is coming. And my friends are like, hey, if I would have listened to you, I would not have a career right now because I'd be hiding in the woods since 2006. And maybe you would have been better off, honestly, hiding in the woods. But I still think that there is a lot of really interesting stuff when it comes to, obviously, the red heifer, right? I don't know what the date on the red heifer is. I heard somebody say they moved it to the 10th now. I don't know how true that is. I did see Nick Hinton, I believe it was, talking about how CERN has trapped a four-dimensional entity. Did we talk about that in the last episode a little bit? A four-dimensional entity was trapped at CERN that seems to be.
I brought that up to Clint. It was on Nephilim Desk Squad, but you weren't here when Clint and Josie were in the room. And I was like, yeah, they're talking to like an entity. We're not talking to it, but they said that from what the article seems to me is that they're actually successful in ripping open something from our 3D realm into a 4D realm, but they are able to measure that, like, in this doorway, there is something standing in it that is blocking. Because I guess you'd measure the particles coming through, and they're saying there is something there blocking it. And it is a something. It's not just like we're having interference. They're saying, they're calling it an entity. They're saying a fifth dimensional entity is blocking their fourth dimensional doorway.
I saw an article about this, and I'm pretty sure they used the word ghost, which was interesting. I didn't understand what context you would use in a scientific terminology, what ghost would mean. God is playing to an audience too afraid to laugh. ALF season 3. We are not too afraid to laugh here. This is, you say it sometimes clown-pilled, but I don't know if clown-pilled is the right way. Like, I like to think that God does have a sense of humor. And he's like, they feel like this is torture. Once they die, they're going to realize like, oh, shit, that was not exactly torture. And that kind of was funny, actually. And I think that's probably what a lot of us are going to experience. But they use the terminology ghost. I don't know what that means. But speaking of CERN, they're also gearing up to, I believe the large particle collider is already firing up. And I guess what happens is
they're calibrating and testing. In order for it to be ready by the 8th, which is when they want to run it.
Which is a very specific date, right? When it comes to, obviously, the eclipse happening on that day. And you know, for people to not draw a correlation there when CERN is inherently ritualistic and ceremonial with their shit and is constantly immersed in conspiracy, whether it's bringing entities into this realm, which is funny right now that we have this. CERN is trying to open Satan's piss closet.
For real.
Oh, it's funny. But
here's the thing. So I wasn't on stage when Sam said that about it being a red herring and to distract us. And don't be surprised when nothing happens, if nothing happens. And I get that from a conspiracy theorist point of view that is always saying like, nah, yo, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And then something happens, but not quite what you were saying. And it's always just kind of kicking the ball along a little further. Okay, it could be that again, but there are a lot of synchronicities that are lining up. And it's not that like this eclipse is really in the headlines. It's not something that they're even talking about or pushing. These are just random articles that come out like, by the way, we're starting up CERN again. They're doing their thing over there. April 8th, an obscure date. Most people don't even know there's going to be a lunar eclipse.
You're right. I posted the article from CERN. It was from January.
Yeah, exactly. So they know full well what's going on. My in-laws are driving from New York the 7th and the 8th to get here. And I told them, I'm like begging them. I said, hey, listen, sounds crazy. Leave a day early. Get here the 7th. And they're just like, don't want to hear it. And I'm just, I don't know. I'm not the kind to go crazy over something like that. But I'm like, there's a little too much here. I wouldn't travel. I wouldn't travel, you know, 20 hours on this day. I don't want to be driving when from 12 to 2, whenever the fuck this happens, because right. it's weird. And at the same time, NASA is also launching, it's like an observatory rockets. They're launching them at the eclipse, three of them. And it's called, it's like Project APEP or APEP.
I thought it was Project Serpent Deity.
Right. I'm going to look this up for you. Go ahead and riff.
So, yeah, they're launching these three rockets to take samples of like the ionosphere or some crap to see what sort of particles exist in the presence of an eclipse or something of that nature. But they're calling it Project Serpentine Deity, or at least that's what I was.
Not quite.
Let's see.
So they're not launching. Quite. NASA to launch sounding rockets to the moon's shadow during solar eclipse. So they want to measure something, but the atmospheric perturbation around eclipse path, APEP, sounding rockets, will be launched to NASA's Wallop flights. I'm not sure if it's this article, but there's another article where they even allude to, like, they like just give away the lead and they're like, by the way, APEP, named after an ancient Egyptian god that battles Ra, the sun god.
See, that's interesting though, because even Green Mountain Girl here, she's quoting the phrase science sounding rockets, and I remember that terminology associated with this article that I was reading that explicitly used the words serpentine deity. Maybe I have maybe it was just saying that APEP or whatever.
No, so they're saying, all right, what the fuck was that about? Okay, how do I make that go away? More ads on this whatever this is.
Fucking
this
dude, is a show the ads on the sites.
Yeah,
yeah.
So Serpent Deity, yeah, the space agency's project atmospheric perturbations around the eclipse path will investigate how that sunlight and temperature will affect the earth's upper atmosphere. APEP is named after the serpent deity from ancient Egyptian mythology, the nemesis of the sun deity Ra. So according to NASA,
interesting,
that's what their acronym there is paying homage to the serpent deity, and its name is APEP. But Nick Hinton also put together Apophia. It's APEPOPHIA. Those are like the beginning symptoms of schizophrenia. That term, let me look that term up for you guys. That term
and
means,
that's really interesting. Because if you couple that with the idea that they came out with this article recently determining that there is an illness called like demonic face syndrome or some shit like that, it's like, yeah. What are they I don't know, invoking? You know, is there something that they're trying to make happen in regards to like this idea that you're mentally ill if you're starting to see, and legitimately mentally ill, not like, oh, you're crazy. Like, no, that's called demonic face syndrome, where you look at people and you see their faces start to morph into demons. That's just different. Don't worry about that. Like, that's, I don't know what the hell that is. And it all feels like it's connected to the same thing. I know he had a thread on something recently with the red heifer as well that was hitting, was crushing it. I wanted to get him on the show, yeah. But I don't know if that's going to happen.
I'm not spelling the name right, but it's just like the early stages of schizophrenia. Yeah, it just means like it's like when the patient is correlating things to other things in a meaningful way, when they're starting to notice. So no, I don't know if anyone in the chat can find that, but Nick Hinton posts a lot of shit. It's like,
that's really interesting. They're trying to like say noticing patterns, and the patterns showing you that something, you know, much more meaningful is going on. That is the beginning of schizophrenia. That's hilarious. I've been in the beginning stages of schizophrenia for 30 years.
Yeah, I mean, the beginning stages of schizophrenia is whenever you notice the Jews, apparently.
And yeah.
Apparently, who's writing this.
Project Janie is saying that schizophrenics have a higher level of adrenochrome, which is an interesting thing. We kind of touched on that in the past. I forgot who we were talking to, but that was linked to the same thing as, what is it, like Ashkenazi's? We were talking to Thomas. That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hitting the CIA.
Quite possibly.
That's why he's too busy to come on the show.
This is interesting, though. Schizophrenics have higher levels of adrenochrome. And then you'll go to the Marzinski thing, rinse and repeat what we say every fucking episode, that they're actually entities. And if you extrapolate from that, you'll go to like elites at Bohemian Grove or wherever they do this, extracting or trying to take adrenochrome or withering away from withdrawal from adrenochrome. It's really interesting, the overlap of entity and adrenochrome. Why does the entity itself need that chemical compound? Here's a question. I don't know if Cheney would even know, but so schizophrenia would be the diagnosis, but would it just be that person has higher levels of adrenochrome in their blood, therefore making them open to these entities, if the entities indeed are schizophrenia? You understand what I'm saying, David?
Well, it's like if entities are attracted to like negative energy, and you can dump adrenochrome into someone's system by essentially torturing them. That's what they do to people before they consume the adrenochrome or the adrenalized blood. They torture them so that the adrenal gland, or the, I guess, I know some people say they dry pineal glands and snort them. That was something crazy that Thomas was talking about. But if you are trying to get adrenalized blood and you're doing that by torturing people, maybe there's something in that adrenaline. So it's like, is schizophrenia hereditary? Which Dr. Marzinski would say no. But maybe it's more so that these people are experiencing trauma in childhood. That's why it's hereditary. It's like you come from a fucked up family. And so all the kids end up experiencing trauma in childhood. And that's mistaken as hereditary. But really, yeah, it's just like being exposed to fucked up shit. Maybe once that happens to a certain degree, that overactive adrenal gland stays that way and is forever just dumping too much adrenaline into the system. And that chemical is somehow attracting, you know, these entities. So it's so not that.
Here's a good theory. Sorry, Lucas. Where is this guy at? Yeah, Lucas says every chemical has its own frequency. Perhaps maybe that's just one of the chemicals that is able to create some kind of a, open up a doorway between here and there. Something that an entity would seek out and want or be drawn to. And I also highlighted Cheney's. I'm not saying that it's negative. I'm saying, yeah, obviously we all do have this in varying levels, but an entity would be attracted to it. And it would make sense if maybe that kind of hereditary, yeah, it's like a hereditary disorder or whatever's going on that you're producing a lot of this. That makes a lot of sense. That's why this stuff is passed down. That's why it's familial, you know, the schizophrenia.
Well, that's like the Montauk Project. I don't know if the Montauk Project was exactly the project where they were doing this, but I know that that's where the idea for Stranger Things came from. And if you just look at the show, it's like, well, what were they doing to Eleven to try to manifest these powers. And what were these powers really? It was like she was opening portals and the demiurge was coming through and shit like that. So whatever the power is, it's directly associated with interacting with this other realm. Right. And so to get her to display these like huge psychic powers or psychic abilities, they were essentially torturing her. They were putting her through like high levels of psychological trauma. And that's how Eleven was developing her powers. And at the apex of her powers, she was letting an entity in to this realm. So with the Montauk Project, it's on Montauk Island in New York. There's a military base that otherwise looks pretty benign. But, oh, it's interesting, too, because Cheney's talking about Eleven being the same exact things as dolphins or orcas in float tanks.
Guys,
and that's,
if you miss Bohemian Grove, Donut came up, lit it up about the MK Ultra dolphins. That's what they were talking about on stage. Hilarious shit. He was telling Clint, which is, makes it even more hilarious. I'm so
that's
glad
so
that it's
funny.
Like that dynamic met up there. But yeah, it is. It's the same idea.
So, you know, on Montauk Island, there's this military base that otherwise looks benign, but the speculation is that there's sub-levels that go like who knows how many levels deep, and that there are these stories that come out of this area, probably from back in like the 80s and such, where the locals would occasionally see like some kid walking around the forest in what looks like a hospital gown or something like that. And it was like either they were running experiments and letting these kids out, or some of them escaped, or somebody released the kids, or what the hell ever. But that's sort of like the inception of the series of Stranger Things. So, you know, a lot of the times what people are considering, I guess if you take Stranger Things, what people are considering psychic abilities is really just, like my grandmother, for example, thought she was clairvoyant. She also had a childhood filled with alien abduction experiences. And I would venture to say that she probably had a childhood filled with abuse, too, because of just who she was in her later life. So I think, wow, cheers from Poland. What's up,
Poland.
Dude?
Please stop
That's
watching.
Cool.
No, I'm joking. I like Poland's
it's insane.
Basic.
Yeah, Poland is cool. I like Poland.
Is that an F or an L?
I'm going to pronounce his last name. It's
wet mouth noises.
Biskowitzki. I used to know a lady named Siskevich, and that was Szyszkiewicz, like they got a whole lot of Z's and shit in there. So you know, whatever was going on with my grandmother, which sounds a lot like dealing with entities from another realm, demonic entities, however you want to say it. We talked about that with Tim Alberino, where he finally conceded, and I'd like everybody to know that at the end, where he said that are Greys a product of fallen entities or the Nephilim? Possibly. So, and then what do you have? Also, this correlation with her believing she was clairvoyant. And I think, I don't know if she was actually clairvoyant or if she was just communicating with something that was giving her information, but these things always seem to go hand in hand, whether it's aliens, psychic ability, and you know, demonic entities. It's all hand in hand. So I don't know if they don't they say that like Ashkenazis, am I picking the right terminology there, Top, that they have like a really disproportionately high level of schizophrenia?
Yeah, they do.
And what do you think? Because my theory on that is like, is it a genetic thing? Is it a Rh negative blood type thing or whatever? Or is it that maybe their morals are a little bit skewed and the children disproportionately experience abuse?
That, I mean, again, yeah, it could, it honestly, it's probably both. It's probably both. It's also probably like the being in that, being in like the Orthodox community is also a form of like trauma. It's like, it's kind of like growing up in a cult. People don't really talk about it that much, but like my friends that are Orthodox or ex-Orthodox, they kind of don't like to talk about it. They'll get expelled from their family. It's like a Scientology type of thing. Yeah, it's a strange place to be in. So I can imagine there's a lot of trauma just being in there and sort of accepting that. Yeah, I don't know. And then it also could be like a gene marker that's like left behind. Maybe some Nephilim shit that's
Right. Maybe it is like, so if we were to entertain the hereditary aspect of schizophrenia, right? And we're saying schizophrenia is a result of, and let's just take it for a clinical diagnosis, even though I know that we don't believe that, but let's just entertain that idea. It's a clinical diagnosis. It's caused potentially by an overactive adrenal gland. Now, that can be emphasized by childhood trauma, but if you do that to generation, maybe at the very least you could say that that adrenal gland is already on edge from the jump, and they need much less of a push to get it there. You know, like maybe you do start to breed a race of human beings that just have an adrenaline gland that has a tendency to become, to easily become overactive.
Well, and when you lie to a group, not just lie, I mean, it's messed up because here we go into Holocaust denial again. When you traumatize a group of people in that way, especially like this current generation where it's like everyone's a Nazi, everyone's coming for you, everything's anti-Semitism, 6 million, they made us in the soap, shit like that. Whatever part of that is true, which in my opinion, again, being serious, I don't think it's all completely true. I do think that some messed up shit did happen, and then it's brought up again and again and again, and it serves itself in a lot of ways because it makes that population terrified, which does keep them open to markers of schizophrenia. It really, I think about that, it's just markers of trauma, right? Just constant trauma. Cut the tips of their dicks. Like, you know, tell them that everyone wants to kill them. Also, like, we're gonna continue doing shady shit and then keeping the normal people that are in this strange cult type thing just completely whacked out. The whole, man, it's messed up when
my wife
that.
My wife used to be a Jehovah's Witness, and the way that she would describe like the fear, like, you know, of being a child, being a child and always thinking that like the end was right around the corner. Because that was a lot of what they were based off of. I know the Jehovah's Witnesses, they incorrectly predicted the end of the world. I think like, I don't know, like 22 times or something since maybe 1914. So it's like multiple times per generation, these people were under the threat of the end times. And that certainly, I know what that's like. I know what it was like to be like 16 years old, to have discovered what I thought was like, you know, fucking prophecy unfolding. And I remember from like 16, 17, 18, like those 3 years were really brutal for me. I probably had a very overactive adrenal gland during those years. It's actually interesting because during those years is when I had what I would say, if I ever did have an abduction experience, it happened during those years. And maybe that's because I'm, you know, emitting some frequency because my body is being, receiving an endogenous dump of adrenaline. And so, you know, I definitely think there's a correlation there. Now, what happens if you take them, instead of giving them the impending threat of like the end of the world, give them just the impending threat of violence around every corner and persecution around every corner from every group, you know, thrown out of every country. Like the media is, you know, saying this and spreading this narrative. Kanye West is saying that. And like,
you know,
yeah, they're
like,
probably,
dude,
in a heightened state.
It's like a... So if you know how you consider like the crack epidemic that was on the black community, they started there and then they were like, you know what? Give it to the fucking white people too. Now who cares? Like now we're just kind of doing everybody. That fear shit in America and I guess around the world, that like intense fear shit started with the Jewish community. And obviously it's just only grown from there, but they do it to us too. And after a while, they're like, fuck it, spread fear to everybody. Like, I mean, let's say like 2001. That's probably when the tide shifted with, 9/11 happens, and then everybody's in a constant state of fear. So now that like that trauma from the Holocaust and 1940s Germany, that was on the Jews for a long time, and then they take the same sort of trauma method and then they put it on us. So it's not really the you know, we joke around, the Jews are doing this, right? They're kind of being fucked with too. They're being fucked with, they were the first people fucked with. It's messed up when you think about it.
Well, they typically like to, and by they, I mean like whatever, you know, at this point, it's like whatever mechanism that like these fallen have their hands on. to oppress humanity and manipulate them. And Sam Tripoli always says this, and I agree with him, we're in this demoralization campaign. Well, what if there is, like, we never really consider that. It's like, well, what's the demoralization campaign doing? It's breaking you down. It's making you feel hopeless. It's filling you with fear. It's also making, like, the entirety of the world much more subjective or subjected to or vulnerable, rather, to the influence of these entities, right? Because when I was talking to, who the hell was I talking to? Oh, what was the demonologist's name? The one we just had on, he was really cool.
Izzy.
Izzy was saying that these entities were feeding off me, right? Because they put me in a state of fear, and it got increasingly worse over like three nights until it came to a head on the fourth night or whatever. So if that is true, wouldn't the same thing go for like the population at large? Like if the entire population, that's why COVID was so dangerous, right? It's like if the entire population is afraid and depressed and anxious and angry, these are all things that these things are just feeding off of. So if one day
it's a feeding frenzy.
Yes. And if one day we come to a point where all of a sudden these things, let's say April 8th rolls around and all of a sudden people are having demonic face syndrome and they're seeing all these things, it's like maybe they finally got to the point where they can manifest, because with a lot of fear and a lot of anger and a lot of anxious people and depressed people for them to feed off of, and then the right ritual, you know, April 8th being the right ritual, can you bring them into this realm now? Or have we been just quietly giving them enough fodder or enough feed with our anger, with our fear, with our sadness for, you know, however long we have? Because I think that without the propaganda machine that we have now, you couldn't achieve that before. You can try all you want, but there's still going to be like villages and shit all over the world where people are just working cows and Y2K was probably, you know, one of the bigger world louche harvesting rituals back in the day. Yeah, kids hiding under their desks from atom bombs. But you couldn't do it before.
It wasn't because ramped people up as were, much. Like that yeah. The atom bomb shit was like there, and then you'll have like a long stretch of time, and then boom, they hit you with, so there might have been something in between then and 9/11. I mean, you had like OKC and shit like that, but it wasn't that level. Now it seems like this year, 2024, it seems like one thing after another. They knocked down a bridge. The fucking Jews are in tunnels. I mean, there's a war going on where there's an eclipse. There's World War III about to happen.
I think it started constant. With COVID. As soon as COVID happened, it was like shit got dialed up. And I remember being like, damn, there's something new every month. And then it was like, damn, there's something new every like 2 weeks. And then it was like, damn, there's something happening multiple times every single week.
Yeah.
Every single week. Now we're going into this thing where it's like the cycle just changes. We used to joke around and be like, everybody's got a 2 week news cycle. A 2 week news cycle. I think that bitch is down to like 2 days.
I think it's down to like a couple of hours. It feels like.
Yeah.
And I don't, that's why I do what I do. And that's why I think that, you know, this show, not Nephilim Death Squad, but the show Neph to America is important, because it's like clown. We're just like talking about clown shit, you know? It's all clown shit. And if you do take it very seriously, then you do feed that machine. That's kind of what they want. I know it sounds like retarded to say like, oh, don't feed them your fear, bro. But it's like, don't feed them your fear, bro. That's kind of what this is about. They have you on like an endless loop of being scared. Your adrenals are flattened. You can't sleep. You're not hungry. Shit's getting all fucked up around you. It's like, just laugh. Just laugh about shit. It's much easier. It's easier on you. They don't get what they want. And it's a good way to fight back too. I think that's why comedy and the laughter does fight this back, because it's the exact opposite emotion of what they're trying to have you do, which is why politics is gay, which is why any kind of political solution. I mean, listen, it'll get you maybe a little closer. But I do think that, like, yo, everyone just needs to laugh at this shit. If you're laughing at this stuff, it has, like, zero power anymore.
It's like Faceless hit me up today. He commented, because I said something about, like, Happy Easter, Christ is King. And all of a sudden, I had a bunch of people in the comments being like, have you registered to vote? And I guess there was some politician that I don't give a shit about said on his show or something, hey, if you see anybody saying Christ is king, search up the terminology in Twitter and then find those people and say, hey, have you registered to vote? Because we're going to turn this thing around. We're going to go. I don't know what the hell he's going to do. I really don't know. But that's what it was. And so Faceless saw my post about like, hey, what the hell is up with this? Three people in the comments saying, have you registered to vote? And he goes, have you registered to vote, though? And I said, no, voting is for the gays. And then Leonardo picked it up and she was like, that's it. We're done voting. Like, that's it. And people were like, OK, fine. We're done voting. But like, you know, to your point about laughing about everything, it becomes a lot easier to laugh about everything once you see that this is all biblical in nature and we're sitting in the middle of some sort of end times prophecy. And if all that is true, then you don't have anything to be afraid about. Boom. Dr. Dingbat. Oh, she's in the Telegram chat. Fucking love these people, man. But that was like perfect timing, too. That was a little uncanny. But yeah, you don't have anything to be afraid of. If you realize that this is all happening, Raven's an added. No, I'm not an anarchist. There is order to this. It's just out of the hands of people. And no matter what they do, they just further God's plan. It's like when, you know, Satan is trying to thwart things and then he just keeps manifesting the very plan that God put forth in the first place. So,
you know,
it's much easier to laugh if you know that.
I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote again because if
you're going to vote for Toad?
Jays, no, fuck Toad. If the Jays could put their finger on the scale and they're collecting these red heifers and they're going to build their temple and all this shit, so they're going to contribute to end time. I'm going to contribute to end time. I'm voting for Trump. I know how this shit plays out. I know he comes in, things look good, things get weird after. I'm playing my part too now. And that, it's not
like
for
that.
Any I don't even think if Joe Biden gets in again, I honestly think it just puts our timeline back. Like this needs to happen and we need to go full clown world. And the way to go full clown world, most people would say like a what do they call those people? A collapsitarian. They'd be like, "I'll vote for Joe Biden again so that America could collapse faster." And I'm like, "Nah, I don't, that's stupid. I think that voting for
that's what the Jews are doing though, right? This is what the Jews are doing. The Jews are speeding up end times prophecy. And it's like, all right, you know what? Fine. Then so are we.
Yeah, so am I. We're voting. I'm still voting for Trump. Yes. I am speeding up end time. I don't care how many vaccines he's forced people to take. And yes, he did. And I don't care how safe those vaccines were. I'm still voting for Trump. How dare you? I don't care if he kissed his daughter. I don't care if he was on Epstein's Island. I am still voting for Donald Trump.
I don't care if he wears a little hat and he kisses the wall.
I don't care if he sold his kids to Israel, which he did. I don't care. I don't care if he had anything to do with the death of Michael Jackson. Probably. I don't care if he time travels. I'm voting for him again because this shit is...
I don't care if he's a fucking time traveler.
I don't care. It's got to end with him. Whatever this is all culminating to, this story, you know that it's coming back to him. So it's like, yeah, I'm not picking you for president. I'm picking you for the guy that finishes this next chapter. We're not going to be stuck in this limbo. Everybody here knows it. You feel it. No matter what they do with this election, you know that the next thing, it's got to be this dude. And he's also running out of time. He's like 80. So whatever he's going to do, he's got to do now. And then we'll see the next thing. So that's
it, dude. I agree. That's how I feel. If you're going to vote, go out and vote for the end times. I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, it's weird, right? Because that's what we talked to a guy recently who claimed to have.
I feel like God is telling us to do that. Like, it's going to end. It's like, yo, go finish it. Don't be like, oh, I'm not going to. Out of principle, I won't vote because no man should rule. It's like, listen, everybody knows. Everyone's looking at this thing coming at us. It's like, point at it. That's the thing. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. You know what's happening while that's going on? People who are still involved in politics on any real level, they're literally playing like cops and robbers. And everybody's looking at the clock knowing daddy's coming home. Like daddy's going to be home soon. And when he gets home, you know, everything's going to change. See, and you got to clean your room.
Accelerationism isn't Biden. Biden is just like more years of mediocre America.
Yeah. Yeah.
Accelerationism is whatever Trump is going to do and get this thing is moving. That's what I'm saying, man. It's like, I only have a couple more minutes before I got to go. But if we've got this eclipse coming and we're opening portals and we're sending out little hints at deities, serpent deities in the sky, and we're seeing demon faces. I mean, there's a million other things going on. Let's just all make it all line up. The Jews are doing it. They've since October 7th.
The Jews are doing it.
The Jews are doing it. Why not us? Since October 7th, do you think that there's a reason that they started this campaign 2 months before the new year? Literally six months. October. It's fucking. Are you crazy? It's almost 6 months to the day that these people have provoked Gaza, allowed them to attack them, and then pushed them back. They're about 80%. They've 80% taken full Gaza. They have a little bit left, and it's like it's being timed. It's being timed for like whatever the hell is going on. So I don't know.
Yeah, you know where people have like an IV bag, and there's a little dial you can like open it all the way. Like
yeah,
when Biden's in office, you're closing it most of the way, and you're allowing it to slow drip.
It's been boring.
But all we got to do is just get our hands on that dial and just crank it open and go, and let shit pop off. We're gonna know soon. By this, so we're doing our live Q&A this Wednesday. So if you guys want to be a part of that, go sign up at patreon.com. You can submit questions, and the live Q&A is going to air there. And then after that, we're having Cashman on Friday. And that'll be, what's Friday? Friday's going to be the 6th or something like
donut.
That?
Donut!
Donut, what up, baby?
I got a new love for Donut and a new respect for him. You should have seen him and my dad. They exchanged phone numbers. They're besties. It's the craziest shit, man. Donut, I love you, man. That was.
So does Top's dad.
I have your stuff over there. I got to set up my background again and your VHS.
I know.
All your cool
Donut
shit.
Has the coolest merch in the world, and I have a green screen. I'm like, what? We got to do something. We're going to do that. We kicked around the idea of renting a space soon, someplace in between you and I. We should consider that over this summer. But just to go back to, we're going to have Cashman on Friday, and then that's the 6th. And then past the weekend, when that Monday rolls around, Neff to America will be fresh off the back of the eclipse. We're going to know better about whether or not we're going to be accelerating, you know? Hopefully, I'm just saying, before shit gets too crazy and the internet goes out, want to do Bohemian Grove, want to get some broadswords. If those two things happen, I'm good. I'm good wherever things fall after that.
We can do Bohemian Grove without the internet. It'll be hard getting people there because they wouldn't be able to know about it, but we could do that. We can't do Neff to America without the internet, most likely.
We'll have to do a shortwave ham radio, and that's how we'll get people to come to a field where we'll then do Bohemian Grove from that field. And we'll have to, at that point, when things go that far, you have to have a real live sacrifice. But I know you got to go, dude. I know you got to go. Is there anything that we should be mentioning before we get out of here?
We have sponsors. We've done a horrible job at plugging the sponsors. So number one sponsor, it's not even a sponsor. I just own the website, toplobster.com. Go buy some shit. We got Rife Technology, realrifetechnology.com. Go buy some more shit. He's doing big things, really cool shit. PurgeSuddenly.com. We have Heaven's Harvest, which we have never even ran an ad for.
I address this very high.
Yeah. Nadeau Shave Co. I think it's all like use Nephilim and you'll get like varying percentages off. That's it. That's the whole thing. Yeah.
That's it. That's all we got.
That's a show. All
right, guys. See you Wednesday for the Patreon members. And if not, see you guys Friday with Shane Cashman.
See ya.
The greatest hypnotist on planet Earth is a oblong box in the corner of the room. It is constantly telling us what to believe is real.
If you can persuade them that what they see with their eyes is what there is to see, you've got them. Because they'll laugh in the face of an explanation that portrays the bigger picture of what's happening. And they have.